This is the Saturday to Sunday Football Podcast.
This is where it all counts. This is why we're here. This is why each one of us are here.
And now, here's your host.
Welcome back to another edition of the Saturday to Sunday Football Podcast. I am Paul Perticchese, and thank you for joining me as always. Our eight-part division-by-division 2024 NFL Draft recap continues tonight with the AFC South. I will go through team by team, sharing every single pick that they made, giving a complete overview of what I thought transpired on draft weekend for each of the teams in the AFC South. I'll break it down of my favorite picks, my value picks, my questionable picks. And then after talking through all four teams, I will rank my favorite drafts in the AFC South 1 through 4. If you have missed any of the previous 6 episodes, I have went division by division. I started with the 4 NFC divisions. Then the previous 2 episodes, we did the AFC East, followed by the AFC North. Up next is, the, like I said, the AFC South. And then concluding this 8-part recap series will be the AFC West, these 18 to 22 minutes or so mini pods, sharing my full thoughts on all of this. As I have said, we do not turn the page for a while here at Saturday to Sunday. We break it down by in every single angle possible, NFL perspective, fits, dynasty perspective. After we finish these 8-part series, I'll share my IDP rookie rankings. I'll bring on hopefully a guest from the industry to share discuss the IDP landscape as well with these rookies who might be immediate production. You know, overall, you know, maybe we have to wait a little bit, but guys that we should have on our radar. Then maybe we'll do a rookie mock draft for people who don't draft right after the NFL draft, but maybe have it in the summer, or just to, you know, everyone likes mock drafts, just to kind of talk through these rookies, even if it helps you out for, you know, startup dynasty league, just how you should be looking at these, you know, rookies in terms of the dynasty landscape, and then hopefully start to bring on guests from the industry, picking their brain on their favorite landing spots, you know, their dynasty thoughts, their redraft thoughts, and all things with the 2024 NFL class before we turn the page into the summer scouting and then sharing our thoughts on our initial rankings and film evals for the 2025 class, which we do sometime in early August. So let's jump right into it and let's get this started in the AFC South. And we will kick it off with the Houston Texans. They didn't have their first-round pick because they made that trade about a month or so before the draft where they picked up 2 second-round picks and some other stuff from Minnesota. Minnesota picked up that extra second-round pick. Houston then used their second-round pick to trade for Stephon Diggs. So you kind of got to incorporate them trading for Stephon Diggs and getting another second-round pick next year instead of having that first-round pick this year. You know, it's got to be thought in the process here, but in terms of draft picks, in the second round, pick 42 overall, they took Georgia cornerback Kamari Lassiter. In the second round, at pick 59 overall, they took Notre Dame offensive tackle Blake Fisher. In the third round, at pick 78 overall, they took USC safety Kalen Bullock. In the fourth round, at pick 123, they took Ohio State tight end Cade Stover. In the sixth round, at pick 188, they took Oregon linebacker Jamal Hill. In the sixth round, at pick 205, they took Louisville running back Jawar Jordan. And in the seventh round, they had a pair of picks at 238 and 247. They took USC edge rusher Solomon Bird and Auburn defensive tackle Marcus Harris. My favorite picks of the Houston Texans, Cade Stover in the fourth round. I also thought he was one of their better value picks. If he would have went late round 3, I would have thought it was, you know, acceptable for him. So they got him at pick 123. I think Dalton Schultz, while he's the clear starter, I think Cade Stover could become a really good number 2. And if at some point they ever got to move on from Dalton Schultz to cap casualty or whatever, I do think Cade Stover's got the ability to step in down the line and become potentially a starting tight end in the National Football League. I also really like the Kalen Bullock pick. I think he has a lot of versatility to that secondary. He's a guy who's got good cover skills. He can cover a lot of range. So I like that when we're talking about secondary picks. So I thought Kalen Bullock and Cade Stover were my 2 favorite picks. Already talked about my value pick was also Cade Stover. I thought he presented tremendous value. I did think they also got some value on Blake Fisher in the end of the second round. With the way offensive tackles came off the board in round 1, if Fisher would have got moved up to the early to mid portion of round 2, I would not have been surprised. So for them to get, you know, sit there at the end of their second round and still get a quality offensive tackle prospect like Blake Fisher. I thought that was a little bit of a value pick as well. In terms of questionable move or decision, I like Kamari Lassiter. Didn't test out great. He was picked one pick ahead of Max Melton, who was one of my guys, who I just think has got his ceiling with the athletic pedigree he has and his upside. I think Max Melton would have been the pick over Lassiter. I know Lassiter has a better background, you know, playing in the SEC, playing for Georgia, but I really like Max Melton. I think he could be one of the best second round picks in the entire draft. So they had an opportunity there to take Max Melton, who I thought was a borderline late round one to top 10 pick in round two type player. I thought Lassiter maybe was a little bit more mid to late round two. So I would have, you know, I would have maybe went with Max Melton over Lassiter, you know, but the Texans preferred Lassiter. I don't think it's a crazy indictment on them. So I think it's slightly questionable, kind of more geared towards my personal preference to Melton and his athleticism over Lassiter. Overall, I like what the Texans did, especially picking up, like I said, Stephon Diggs. And that second round pick in 2025 with their two pre-draft trades before the 2024 NFL draft. Next up is Indianapolis Colts. In the first round of pick 15, they took UCLA edge Latu. In the second round of pick 52, they took Texas wide receiver A.D. Mitchell. In the third round of pick 79, they took Pittsburgh offensive lineman Matt Goncalves. In the fourth round of pick 117 overall, they took Wisconsin interior offensive lineman Tanner Bertolini. In the fifth round of pick 142, they took Oregon State wide receiver Anthony Gould. In the fifth round, they took Missouri safety Jalen Carlies. Also in the fifth round of pick 164, they took Auburn safety Jalen Simpson. In the sixth round of pick 201, they took Marshall cornerback Micah Abraham. In the seventh round, they took Oklahoma defensive tackle Jonah Lalu at pick 234. Overall, my favorite picks from the Colts were taking Latu at pick 15 and A.D. Mitchell at pick 52 in the second round. You can make the case that Latu is the best defensive prospect in this draft class. If there weren't questions about his injury, if there weren't questions lingering about that, I think he probably would have been the first defensive player taken. But earlier, he was the first defensive player taken, but I think he would have been more in that top 10 mix. You know, listen, the Falcons stunned us by taking Michael Penix Jr., but I do think Latu could have been very much in play if the Colts made that pick. There were other teams in that first 14 picks that if they went defensive player, would it have been Latu? So I thought it was a good vet. He's not under my value pick because I thought he went about where we expected him to go. But I do think he's the best pass rusher in this draft class. His array of pass rush moves, I think, is far superior than anybody in this class. I think his techniques, all stuff that I think screams really good player at the next level if the injury stuff works itself out. So I like that pick. The A.D. Mitchell pick, listen, I thought he was a late round one guy. So for them to get him at 52, I know there were a lot of stuff that kind of came out pre-draft, you know, some stuff kind of attacking his character and some other stuff. But to get him at pick 52 overall, it's also one of my tremendous value picks for the Colts. You now have a trio potentially at wide receiver that one really complements each other. You have Josh Downs in the slot. He was one of my favorite prospects in last year's draft. You got an alpha wide receiver, Michael Pittman, who can win. You know, he could play the Z, he could play the X. But then you also now you got the speed and the athleticism of A.D. Mitchell. They really complement each other well. You add that to Anthony Richardson. You add that to them keeping Jonathan Taylor. The Colts are set up on the offensive side. They added to the offensive line a little bit with those picks in the third and fourth round. I thought that was solid. And then my other value pick, and I don't think he's going to get much of an opportunity to play, but Anthony Gould in the fifth round of pick 142. We're talking a guy who's got flat out speed. We see these guys get pushed up the board, right? We've seen guys go in round three, in round four because of their elite speed. Anthony Gould has that elite speed. So now you add that and he's, you know, we'll see when he becomes it, but he's got a possibility to be the fourth wide receiver for the Colts. So I thought that was really good value. Questionable moves. I didn't really have a lot of them. Nitpicking in the fifth round, there was a couple safeties left on the board that I like more than Jalen Carlies. You know, and maybe their sixth round pick, I didn't think Mike Abraham was probably going to get drafted, other than he was a more of a high priority UDFA. But we're talking, you know, late fifth round, sixth round, it's hard to really question those. So maybe a few guys that would have taken over Carly's, a couple guys instead of Abraham there in the sixth that I thought were more draftable than Abraham. But all in all, the Colts did a really good job adding good value and good picks to their roster. Next up, the Jacksonville Jaguars. After a trade back from 17 to 23, picking up some future draft assets, they take LSU wide receiver Brian Thomas. In the second round of pick 48, they took LSU defensive tackle Mason Smith. In the third round of pick 96, they took Florida State cornerback Jarian Jones. In the fourth round of pick 114, they took Missouri offensive tackle Javon Foster. In the fourth round at 116, they took LSU defensive tackle Jordan Jefferson. In the fifth round of pick 153, they took Ole Miss cornerback DeAndre Prince. In the fifth round, they took Texas running back special teamer Kalen Robinson. In the sixth round, they took a 212 Arkansas kicker Cam Little. And in the seventh round, Texas Tech defensive end Miles Cole. I'll start with what I liked about this draft overall. I liked the trade back because my guess is they were probably really contemplating Brian Thomas at 17. So to move back to 23 leads me to believe they either liked another wide receiver a lot or they were comfortable maybe pivoting to like a cornerback position and targeting one of the top corners in the draft. But to move back, get additional draft capital, and get Brian Thomas, who probably would have been a pick at 17, that was overall my favorite thing they did and kind of set this up, you know, as I thought is I had some questions overall about their draft, but I do like the way they handled the first round. And making the pick of Brian Thomas, you can make the case that he was a really good value pick. For a while, we thought Brian Thomas maybe could have pushed his way into the top 15, top 17, you know, where we thought he might go to Jacksonville. So for them to move back and get him at 23, it's also a good value as well. Another one of my favorite picks, I did like Jordan Jefferson. I did like his teammate, Mekhi Wingo, even better, who I was surprised fell a little bit further into the draft. But I do like the addition of Jordan Jefferson to add to that defensive mix in the fourth round. Questionable decisions, couple things here. I didn't love the Kylan Robinson pick in the fifth round. I kind of understand it because I think they're looking at him as a big-time returner, especially with the new kick return rules. I just thought in the fifth round of pick 167, a guy who is solely going to be a returner, not going to be a guy who I think touches any snaps on the offense, to me, that's a little rich for a kick returner only type. So that was my first questionable decision. I think Mason Smith was going to go on day two. I was a little surprised with pick 48, though. I thought that was a little high for Mason Smith. I thought he was more of a late round two type guy or early round three. So to go in the, you know, at pick 48, almost smack dab in the middle of the second round, I thought that was a little early for Mason Smith. And then even Jarian Jones, while I liked the player out of Florida State, I thought he was more of a day three guy, you know, somewhere mid-round four, late-round four, and they took him at the end of round three. I thought that was a little early. There was a few cornerbacks left that I had a little bit higher on my board, so that would have been a little bit of a questionable decision as well. If we take this over to the Tennessee Titans, in the first round at pick 7, they take Alabama offensive tackle J.C. Latham. In the second round at pick 38, they take Texas defensive tackle T'Andre Sweat. In the fourth round, they took North Carolina linebacker Cedric Gray at pick 106. In the fifth round at pick 146, they took Louisville cornerback Jarvis Brownlee. In the sixth round at pick 182, they took Tulane wide receiver Jaquan Jackson. In the seventh round, they had a pair of picks at 242 and 252. They took Miami of Florida safety James Williams, could also be a hybrid linebacker as well. And at 252, they took Michigan edge Jalen Harrell. Overall, I had some questions about the Titans. My favorite pick is actually Cedric Gray. I thought he was going to come off the board in round three. So he came off the board in round four. So he was my favorite pick. He was also my value pick for them, one of my value picks for them. I do think he's got the capabilities to develop into a starting linebacker. So I thought that was a solid pick and also a little bit of value there, maybe by a half a round. If he would have went off the board somewhere mid-round three to late-round three, they get him in the early portion of round four, so some value there. I also think Jarvis Brownlee is a guy who I thought could have came off the board in round four, so maybe a round of value there, getting him in round five. I think he could develop into at least, you know, a third man on a depth chart at the cornerback position. I do like the speedster, Jaquan Jackson, out of Tulane. I'm not sure he's going to get a lot of opportunities there. Tennessee's wide receiving group kind of becoming a little bit crowded. You know, post-draft, they signed Tyler Boyd. Excuse me. They signed Calvin Ridley in free agency. They have DeAndre Hopkins. They still have Treylon Burks, who seems like maybe he's fallen out of favor. You know, obviously it's a new regime, so we'll see. But my issue with the Titans draft and leads into my questionable decisions is, one, I'm stunned DeAndre Sweat went in the second round. I thought he was a late round two or round three prospect before the DUI. Then after the DUI, I didn't even think he was going to get picked in the top 100. For him to go close to the top of round two, I thought was stunning. I thought there was way better prospects that could have more of an impact than Sweat there, especially with the concern, the character stuff that came out pre-draft, the DUI that came out. So I was a little surprised by that. Do I think he could be a good, functional starting defensive tackle in the NFL? Sure. I'm just surprised his type of player with the stuff that came out pre-draft, 38 was a little bit high for my liking. The other thing, J.C. Latham, while I liked the prospect, their decision to take him at 7 and say he's going to be their starting left tackle, where he's never really played left tackle, I thought he was the best right tackle in the draft, warranting going in the top 10, top 12, top 15. But for them to definitively say, oh, he's going to be our starting left tackle, you know, maybe, you know, pivoting to a guy who's got experience. You know, I really liked, you know, Olofashinu. I thought he was the second best tackle in this draft. Maybe that would have been the better pick. You know, I like Latham a lot. I don't love the idea of moving him to left tackle, but we'll see if it works out. You know, I thought he was the best right tackle in this draft class. So there it is, guys. My thoughts on all four teams in the AFC South. If I was going to rank them overall, I got to be honest with you, probably the NFC South and the AFC South are my two least favored divisions. If I was going to rank them, I put the Colts at one, and that's mostly towards the top of there. You know, Latu is the first defense player taken. You know, the value of A.D. Mitchell kind of carries the Colts draft a little bit. I did put the Texans at number two, especially if you take into account the future draft pick, you know, for next year in the second round, the use of a draft asset to get Stephon Diggs. So I have Texans number two, I have Jaguars number three, and I have the Titans number four. I really do think you can make a case after the Colts. I think the Colts are the clear best team in this draft, in this division. 2, 3, 4, I think you can rank them in any which way. If you're not going to count the future draft capital or Stephon Diggs, I could see someone having the Texans lower. But this is personally, I do kind of incorporate that a little bit. So for me, it's the Colts 1, Texans 2, Jaguars 3, Titans 4. So there it is, guys. If you're enjoying this content, please get over to our website, ssfootball.com. Fastest way to get there. Check out our premium content tab. For $9.99, you can still get all of our access to our premium notebooks. It is the best way to help us continue to do what we do here. The rankings notebook would be the bread and butter one right now. Dynasty rookie rankings updated constantly. IDP rookie rankings to come out next week. Positional dynasty rankings to come out after that. It has my film rankings for this draft class, just what I thought on film pre-draft. If you just want to see how I had these guys ranked before landing spots, before draft capital, you get the scouting notebook, which has 100 detailed player profiles on most of these offensive skill players that are going to go in your dynasty rookie drafts. And then you get the draft projections notebook. And while the draft is come and gone, it does have thoughts on almost 400 players, offense and defense, snapshot of how they win, developmental areas, all their testing numbers as well. So on behalf of our sound tech engineer, David Nakano, and myself, thank you for joining us, and we look forward next time taking you from Saturday to Sunday.